just going to refer to it. I don't, not necessary that you turn there, but 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 10 through 47, gives a list of David's mighty men. And he had a lot of people that were loyal to him and would fight and would serve beside him. And without them, David could have done very little, but God gave him people that were loyal to them. And if you look at verse 41 of 1 Chronicles chapter 11, you will notice the name Uriah the Hittite. That was, of course, Bathsheba's first husband. And he was included. He was included. He was not forgotten. And that's the way it should be. We should not be forgotten. There's the sacrifices that were made on our behalf so that we could have the privilege of sitting here free from someone bursting through that door from some government agency or something like that, telling us what we should do. We have religious freedoms. That's in the first, was in the first amendment in the Bill of Rights. And the notion that there was should be no religion in the government came from a letter that was received by President Thomas Jefferson from a Baptist association in New England. And they simply wanted clarification on the First Amendment. And that's where the notion came from, separation of church and state, because that's what Jefferson responded, saying that the intention of the amendment was to make sure that there would be no official religion in the United States of America. There wouldn't be a government-instituted religion. Of course, now it's working the other way. The government is slowly but surely instituting that there be no religion. And we need to be aware of that. We need to remember, like this flag here in the triangle makes so absolutely clear, there were people who stood up and served this country and gave their lives in the process so we could have the privilege of meeting here and worshiping together. Now, I thought long and hard, and it's really hard to say everything needs to be said about the men that have served this country and died, but died in that service. But I can think of four people that I've met over the years who sacrificed for this country, and they didn't die while serving, but they served. Some of you may know or may have heard of Admiral Frank Jack Fletcher, who used to live in Araby Farm there across from, I guess you would say more or less across from the sewage treatment plant on 225. Not all that far from where I grew up. And Admiral Fletcher served as overall commander of the force at the Coral Sea and also at Midway. And he had first his flagship, the Lexington, at the Coral Sea, was sunk. He had to abandon ship along with everybody else. And then also at Midway, where the Yorktown was damaged, and he had to abandon ship there too. And he served this country well, as to the best of his abilities. Not everybody, he met with some unfortunate development at the Coral Sea, at, Guadalcanal. But, and he was relieved of command. but he served. And somebody that I had the privilege of meeting was a guy by the name of Sergeant William Shulton. When Pearl Harbor was bombed, Sergeant Shulton, and then he was a PFC, was on the Philippines. He was at the Philippines. And he survived the Battle for Bataan, and he survived the what was known as the, let's see, I don't have it. Okay, no young kids here. The Philippine Death March. And if you couldn't keep up, you were shot dead. Period. And then he survived 3 years Japanese prisoner of war camp in on the Philippines until he was finally liberated in, I think it was 1945. And then there's another fellow, some of you may know as well, might know, Jim Shamblin. Anybody know Jim Shamblin? Ever heard his name? He was on the second wave of soldiers that landed on Omaha Beach. As Jim said and told me when I was talking with him at the hospital in La Plata one day, Jim said he was on the second wave. He said if you were on the first wave, you didn't make it. They suffered over 90% casualties. And his second wave, they were just above 50%, I believe. Horrible, horrible scene. But see, they knew that they knew what they were fighting for. They were fighting for the United States. They were fighting for us. They were fighting for our future so that the swastika wouldn't wave over the United States of America. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention my cousin, William Ashburn. William served in Vietnam, and he was given every award that he could get except for the Congressional Medal of Honor. He was one of those people that he took a country boy out of Northumberland County, Virginia, and put him in the jungles of Vietnam. Well, somehow or another, he just fell right in line with the environment, and more often than not, he was the one who walked point. And if some of you are familiar, to walk point means you're the first one to go down through the trail or whatever it is. You're the first one out there. And more often than not, he was able to detect an ambush or whatever might be happening up the trail. And there are a lot of stories he used to tell me when I'd go down there. I would go down and him and his father, my Uncle Eddie, and I would go down there and work on their fish boat and crab boat because that was vacation to me. I just loved being on the water. And that night he was sitting talking, and I would just listen. And the one that gets me, the one I'd like to share with you, he said that one night, I guess it was in the Mekong Delta, said one night he went to sleep, said he has M16 like this, and he was laid down like this on his M16, and from the waist down he was in water. And he went to sleep like that so that if something happened, all he had to do was, and he had his finger on the trigger. And he was fighting for America. Now, if at this time, if someone has someone on their heart that they would like to share with the rest of the congregation who has served and perhaps died, Memorial Day has come to be a day where we remember all those that serve for our country, but particularly those who have died in serving our country. They say the first wave on Omaha Beach was wiped out, and there, if you've ever saw Saving Private Ryan, you know that all those Rangers went up the cliffs and died to get rid of guns that had already been moved. And that's the way war is. If you know of somebody and you would like to share a memory or something you know about them, how they served, I invite you now to stand or just and to sit and tell us. Anybody that's on your heart. Yes, ma'am. And the children.
Yeah, grow up, you know, a lot, but they're missing. So.
And nowadays, it's not only the man, the husband, but also a lot of times it's the wife that has to go overseas, and not all of them make it home either. Steve, I saw you. Yes, ma'am.
So
Yes, ma'am.
Well, for...
Talk a little louder, hearing aids. I will have to turn them up, and then after I turn them up, that would be too loud, so you could...
So for me, not my father, but my brother's father, served in the Army in Vietnam. He did come back. He's now passed on. Brother served in the Army as well. He's back, but that's what he was mentioning, is to his heart. And brother was in Marine, and that's part of the military family. Oh, I'm sorry, and I'm uncle. He's passed on to me, also served in the Army, so...
Yes, ma'am.
I have many family members that I would like to acknowledge. One was my father. He started out, he was driving a tank, and he ended up being a sniper. And I have a dear uncle that was he flew Air Force One. But there were many others in the family, but it is hard because you have to remember to be their support while they're away and when they come back.
Yes, sir.
Many of you probably know Dad was a Vietnam veteran, so he's served 27 years in the Air Force. And he doesn't talk a lot about his experience, but he was a jet engine mechanic. He worked at Ford. If you know, F-4 is basically a jet engine with wings and a cockpit on it. Mm-hmm. And some of them didn't come back. Good job to patch them up.
And all these mentioned, yes, sir. Wait a minute, I'm going to have to turn my hearing aid up for you. Hold on just a second. And I would be remiss, as I was standing here, I remembered my father's brother-in-law, George Austin. he flew a B-25 over Germany. And for those not familiar with B-25, it was not a high altitude bomber. It was designed to support close, to fly in and, bomb positions on the battlefield, specific locations. And it was quite dangerous. And I asked him about air combat, because I used to be a nut for World War II. And he said when those Messerschmitts came at his plane, he said they would shoot, but then they would roll belly up. And he said once they rolled that belly up and went by the plane, it didn't mean anything, because the Germans had armored the bottom of that Messerschmitt, ME-109, so that you could shoot through it. That was it. They were tough. But I remembered George telling me about that, and I just shook my head. It's just unbelievable. And because people were willing to sacrifice, we're here today. Of course, when it comes to sacrifice, we think of Jesus who died on the cross as Calvary so that we might live forever. He defeated sin, death, hell, and the devil so that we might live in eternity with God and in his presence. When we completely surrender to Jesus, our salvation is eternally secured forever. That's what Jesus did for us. Quickly, I'll read a few verses to go along with that. 2 Corinthians, I know you've heard me say this at least half a dozen times. Well, let's make it seven. 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Meaning when we confess that we can't get it done on our own, then God's prepared to work through us. And that's what is required when we completely surrender to Jesus Christ. We confess that without his help, we're not going to make it. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, Paul writes. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message, my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. For this, Paul writes, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how deep and how high is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Most Holy Father, we thank you for those that you called to serve. We thank you for their sacrifice, Lord, to make it possible for us to be here today. And Lord, we pray that we would take heart and know that you are with us always, no matter what's going on and no matter what we're up against. If we confess our need for you and we surrender our lives to you, that you're always there with us, Lord. And we're thankful to know that once we've given ourselves to you, that our eternal security can never be taken from us. Our salvation, our part in the kingdom of heaven, can never be taken from us because it's guaranteed by the blood of Christ that was shed for us on the cross. So Lord, bless us now and help us this day to surrender anew to you because of the marvelous love for us. And because what more can we do except surrender as Jesus surrendered for us? Now bless us and be with us, Lord. And as we sing this last song, pray, Holy Father, if any here need to surrender, if any here need to come forward and confess Christ as Savior and be baptized, whatever the need is, Lord, I pray that your heart, that you would move them in their heart by the power of your Holy Spirit. And bless us now, Lord. Help us all to take another step closer towards Jesus as we leave the service. In your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.